Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yes, more of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise. For God had provided some better thing for us, that they should not be made perfect without us. Therefore, since we also are surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So there's quite a few athletic allegories there. Have you ever seen a football fan?
Do you mean a fanatic?
Are you a fan? Football fan? I mean a real fan? No. You ever seen a real football fan?
Yeah. Or, paint their bodies.
Paint their bodies. Yeah. They've got all the jerseys. And Bubba's sitting down on his tailgate having a tailgate party with his Bubba keg and the beer holder hat. And he's telling the guy, you know, if he's from the Broncos, and he's telling the Raiders guy, we're going to beat you like a redheaded stepchild, as though he's a part of the team that's going to win, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And then on Monday he goes to work and he brags that we won yesterday, as though he scored a touchdown for him. That's a football fan. Well, they take it to the next level, which is fantasy football. Are you guys familiar with fantasy football? Mm-hmm. You sign up online, you have a team, and you draft certain NFL team members for your team. Then, however they do on Sunday afternoon, if they score a touchdown, you get certain points for that. So you add up the points, and your team competes against your buddy's team, and your points are parallel to their performance on Sunday. Their statistics determine your victory or defeat, your score. Okay, so on the swing shift, we have the Swing Shift Fantasy Football League. And a lot of the guys are doing that thing. And so they come back to work after Sunday, and they talk about who beat who. So, you know, Paul says, so run that you may obtain. Run in a way that you might obtain or that you might win. And I guarantee you, the winner of the Swing Shift Super Bowl this year is not going to have a Super Bowl ring. And he's not going to have a Vince Lombardi trophy. Okay? But what kind of dedication does it take to get a Super Bowl ring or a Vince Lombardi trophy? And I want to look at a person who exemplifies the kind of dedication it takes to win that perishable crown. And then compare it to the imperishable. And that man's name is Jerry Rice. Do you know Jerry Rice? He's probably the greatest wide receiver the NFL's ever had. He's the leader in touchdowns. Katie, what is he? You're being kind of loud. He has a record for most touchdowns. He is the greatest wide receiver that ever played, but what's legendary about him is his off-season workouts. Mm-hmm. He worked harder than any man's ever worked in the NFL. And that's how he obtained 5 Super Bowl rings and all the statistics and etc. So I want to read what his off-season workout was like. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. This is not what his coach made him do. This is what his passion made him do. Uh-huh. This is what his discipline made him do. This is what his hunger for victory made him do. Rice's 6-day-a-week workout is divided into 2 parts. 2 hours of cardiovascular work in the morning and 3 hours of strength training each afternoon. Early in the off-season, the AM segment consisted of a 5-mile trail run near San Carlos on a torturous course called simply the Hill. But since 5 vertical miles can hardly be considered a workout, he paused on the steepest section to to do a series of 10 40-meter uphill sprints. As the season approached, however, Rice knows it's time to start conserving energy, so he forgoes the hill and instead merely does a couple of sprints. He does wind sprints on a flat football field. He runs 6 100-yard sprints, then 6 80s, then 6 60s, 6 40s, 6 20s, and 16 10s.
All in one day?
With no rest between the sprints and just 2.5 minutes between sets. That's his morning workout. For the PM session, he alternates between upper body and lower body days, but no matter which half of his body he was working on, the volume is always the same. Three sets of 10 reps of 21 different exercises. That's 630 reps a day. Is that all you might be tempted to ask? The sports writer writes. Well, there is one more thing, replies Raymond Ferris, Rice's personal trainer, who, going beyond the call of duty, often performs the regimen alongside the star pupil. Quote, we crawl across the parking lot and see who has enough strength to open the car door. End quote. Listen, if that's the kind of dedication it takes to win a perishable crown, what kind of dedication does it take to win an imperishable? You can tell a world-class athlete when you see one, believe me. We lived in Farmington, New Mexico, which is a high desert city. And one day I was driving down the street, and I looked over, and there was three black men running, and a fourth black man on a 10-speed in sweats following them. And I saw them take three strides, and I said, those are world-class athletes. You could tell in an instant. Mm-hmm. You could tell in an instant. I'm telling you, yes, I never seen anything like it. A gazelle doesn't run like that man run. I thought, he must be a Kenyan athlete training in the winter months in Farmington, New Mexico. And so I started asking around, who are these guys I see running by the side of the road? Mm-hmm. Well, come to find out, the one that was always in the head was a world-class athlete. In fact, he won the San Diego Marathon while he was training there. His name was Nambuki. If Jerry Rice were to walk in here, you know, in a tight shirt, jeans, you'd know he's a world-class athlete. You can just spot him, you know. What if we follow Jerry Rice through his day and watched his sacrifice, his determination, his discipline? To most of us, that would seem completely unreasonable. When I read that, it's like, that's completely unreasonable. And this is a man competing for a perishable crown. So what if Jerry Rice were to come and follow us through our day? We who are pursuing an imperishable crown, would he look at our life, our devotion, our discipline, our passion, and say, that's ridiculous. That's completely unreasonable. What would drive a person to act that way? Would he do that?
I don't think so.
Or would he say, well, they're probably a part of a fantasy football league. You know what I'm saying? If we went through his day with him, and if he sat down with us and told us of the sacrifice to obtain his 5 rings, we would say, man, you paid quite a price. Would he say the same about ours? Our passion, our sacrifice, our discipline. And yet, we would be trying to tell him, listen, we're competing for a crown that's infinitely more valuable than your 5 rings. Now, would our lives convince him of that fact? You see what I'm saying? So, 2 Timothy 2:5 says it, and also, if anyone competes, he is not crowned unless he competes lawfully or according to the rules. And then a few verses later, Paul gives us the rules. And here's the rules. 2 Timothy 2:11. For faithful is the word, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. There's the rules. There's the rules to obtaining an imperishable crown. If we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. You know, I'll give you an example of a life lived that Jerry Rice might consider ridiculous, that he might consider unreasonable if we were to tell him the story. In 1732, John Leonard Doper and David Nitschmann, they were two young men in their early 20s. They were Moravian missionaries, the first Moravian missionaries. And they had heard about the slaves who were in the West Indies that couldn't have the gospel come to them. There was no missionaries allowed in for whatever reason, I don't know. So these young men sold themselves into slavery to become slaves and live the Christian life before these slaves. And as they boarded the ship and left the dock, one of them, leaving his wife and children behind, as they begged him not to leave, they locked their arms, and his words were, "Shall not the slain lamb receive the reward of his sufferings? Shall not the slain lamb receive the reward of his sufferings?" Now that, I think Jerry Rice might say, that's ridiculous. But that's somebody who has a vision of Christ's sacrifice. And let me tell you, if you see his sacrifice, then there is no sacrifice unreasonable. There is no no. There are no off-limit signs hung on the walls of our hearts. If you've really seen his sacrifice, these men had a vision of the slain lamb. And in their minds, they're willing to give up anything that he might receive the reward of his sufferings. Those men were running for a crown imperishable, weren't they? David Brainerd's another one, a missionary to the Indians. He failed miserably in trying to reach these natives. He couldn't get any of them saved. He just left the village where they were committing adultery and drinking and doing all kinds of debauchery. And with his tuberculosis-racked body, clothed in his animal skin, his cowhide, he went out into the snow at half an hour before sunrise and knelt in the snow, and he said, "It was up to my chin." And he laid in the snow to pray and cry out to God and wrestle with God over his failure to reach his Indians. And he said a half hour before sunset, he could barely touch the snow with his fingertips, wrestling with God until he melted the snow under him. And God did a powerful work. He found the Indians weeping over their sins and crying out to God for mercy. Reese Howells, the intercessor, I don't know if you all have read his biography, but it's a wonderful biography. And literally, Reese Howells and a group of young people that were part of a college literally turned world events during World War II through their intercessory prayer. But Reese Howells' wife testified that in that room, he used to go at 6 in the morning, and he would come out at 6 at night. That was his prayer closet. And she said he did that for 11 months straight, every day except the day his mother died. Now Jerry Rice would go, "That's ridiculous. That's unreasonable. But not if you've seen the crown imperishable." You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, but how did he earn a living? You know?
Yeah. Let me draw a parallel here. Let me see if I can define fantasy. Fantasy football is tying my victory to their statistics. Okay. Tying my victory to their sacrifice, their discipline, their passion, their love for the game. Again, if Jerry Rice came in and looked at our lives, looked at my life, would he say, "That is a life that's obviously in pursuit of an imperishable crown"? Or would he say, "That looks like a fantasy league to me. What you're saying doesn't match what you're living. It's a fantasy." Galatians 6:3 says, "For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one prove his work, and then he alone will have a boast in himself and not in another." Here's here's the point of what I want to say about the devotional life. You can compare your devotional life, your prayer life, to Jerry Rice's workout life. If you're consumed with the eternal, you will be consumed with prayer, for prayer is your doorway to the eternal. The amount of time you spend in prayer is indicative of your love and vision for the eternal, the heavenly, the spiritual, and it is indicative of the fire of God burning in your own heart with a passion and a faith to obtain all of the riches there are for us in Christ. Your prayer life is indicative of your vision of the eternal, for it is your doorway to the eternal. And we are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. And these are the hall of faith or the hall of fame who've gone before. And they're watching our lives and they're cheering us on. Not as mere spectators, but those who have run before. And see, these men that I've just named, as well as those that Paul named, they were sawn in two, that's Isaiah, and on and on. We have a two-millennia history of those who have run before us. And just like the Olympian carrying the torch, they've passed that fire that they held so high onto the next generation. And every generation has had those who have carried that torch like a baton in a relay race. And now those who have gone before are sitting as witnesses, going, come on, run. And they've handed that baton to us. Us in this generation. Reese Howes is dead. Leonard Ravenhill's dead. Ari Miller's dead. These men are gone that carried that flame so high, that passion, that fire of God burned within their hearts. John G. Lake is dead. Most of those I named. David Brainerd's dead. Most of those I named within our lifetime. And here's the thing. I was talking to a guy at work about this the other day, a Christian brother. The average Joe like me jogs a half hour a day, or I don't even jog half, 20 minutes a day.
3 days.
But we'll just say a day. You know, the average man will jog 20 minutes a day to keep his heart healthy so he'll live a nice long life so he doesn't die of a heart attack. That's totally different than a Jerry Rice's passion. You see, that's his love. That's his passion. His coach doesn't make him do that. That's obviously something that burns within him. Jerry Rice had knee surgery, reconstructive knee surgery. He'd laid around for 10 days and got to feeling like he'd been loafing too much. In the middle of the night, he took his brace off, got up and went to the gym to lift weights. In the middle of the night, how many times do we get up in the middle of the night to seek God? You see what I'm saying? So the average guy runs a half hour a day. And, well, I'm sorry, what?
I said, I'm up a lot.
Oh, yeah. The average
when
guy
I'm
runs a half.
I'm God when I'm up.
Yeah, I know you are. The average guy runs a half hour a day to preserve his life. Jerry Rice follows his passion. Listen, if all we can do is give a half hour devotional in the morning just so we survive the day, that's not running to obtain an imperishable crown. Our passion should match that of those who are running to receive a perishable crown. If they're the elite, if they're the world class, if they're the example, shouldn't our lives mirror that in our pursuit of Christ, in running so as to obtain, Paul says? Run so as to obtain. I think of those who have gone before, and I feel a tremendous responsibility to carry that baton to the next generation. A tremendous responsibility. This is burning in my heart more and more. And I think about the judgment seat of Christ appearing them. Listen, when we come to the judgment seat, believe me, you're going to want to have stuff to lay at his feet. It will be extremely important in that day to have gold, silver, and precious stones to lay at the feet of the slain lamb who paid such a tremendous price for me And that is burning in my heart. And listen to this. In Philippians, after Paul says, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Shortly after that, he says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, as the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly or their appetites, and whose glory is their shame, those who mind earthly things. Those who mind earthly things. So he's saying that what they glory in here is really shameful. When we stand at that judgment seat and what our life is put into the fire, a lot of the things that I know, not maybe not us, but a lot of Christians glory in, maybe it's the Denver Broncos or the Cornhuskers or their job or hunting or I don't know, whatever, the things that they really glory in, the things that they love to talk about and spend their time and invest their passions in, those things are going to be such an incredible source of shame on that day. Sitting in front of a television, wasting away while riches in Christ sit on the other side waiting to be obtained. Can you imagine the shame as you glory in these things that turn to ash? Paul said, run so that you may obtain. Run so that you may obtain. So, here's my question for us. Here's the question that I'm asking myself every day and have been for some time. Here's my question for us as a group. If Jerry Rice were to walk in here and see our lives, if our lives were laid out before him, would he say, you all are running for an imperishable crown and I can tell it? Or would he say, you all are living a fantasy?